Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all for joining us on this beautiful Monday. We're starting the week off right. And we have a lot of news to get to still before we do producer's picks. Remember herd immunity? Feels like just yesterday that was part of the plan. I remember, I think it was Fauci. I believe it was Dr. Fauci that was talking about how he didn't want herd immunity, and then he wanted herd immunity, and then he didn't tell us just how much herd immunity we needed because he lied to us for our own good, essentially.
Dr. Fauci, what's happening?
Dr. Fauci likes to lie to the American people so that, you know, because he always knows what's in our best interest and you can't handle the truth. But now there's a new story out from the New York Post. Now, keep in mind, this is from the experts. So take that with a humongous grain of salt. U.S. unlikely to achieve COVID-19 herd immunity, experts say. The United States is unlikely to reach. The unlikely reminds me of unexpectedly. You know, the unemployment numbers are unexpectedly high. The United States is unlikely to reach herd immunity as more contagious COVID-19 variants spread and many Americans remain reluctant to get vaccinated. Experts now believe. Instead, the virus will only become more manageable, scientists say. The virus will unlikely go away, but what we want to do is do all we can to check that it's likely to become a mild infection. I thought herd immunity, Jared. Am I crazy? Or was that at one point like what we were all going to have to wait for?
No, it was definitely in play until you could argue we got there. And then, herd immunity would have worked, but there's all these variants now, and you know, we gotta.
Right. And I talked a little bit about how Joe Biden was so wishy-washy on whether or not the schools should open. And I kind of feel like part of being in charge, especially when you're the president, is having an opinion, you know, most issues. Like, they would ask Trump about Tiger King, and if he didn't have an opinion, it was like, why doesn't he think about it? Why doesn't he have an opinion ready? Now, Joe Biden, you would think, would have an opinion on opening the schools, because he kind of seemed like he was very pro opening the schools when he ran. Actually, he told one of the kids at a town hall after he became president that the likelihood of her getting the COVID virus was so low because she's a child. He's aware of that. He's aware of the numbers. He's a big number stuff fan. He's aware of the transmission rates among children. But he still said schools should probably be open. Now, all of the mothers and fathers, but I know a lot of the brunt of this, for the most part, in a lot of homes, does fall on the moms. They're in charge of like the Zoom schooling. If you've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and first you were told, you know, 15 days, and then you were told, you know, a couple more months, and then you were told, oh, we need a vaccine, and then you were told, oh, we need herd immunity, and then you were told, oh, we need every single person to get the vaccine, you might start to think that the teachers' unions are just messing with you. That maybe, and I don't want this to destroy your faith in the integrity of the teachers' unions, but you would start to think, are they trying to make me go crazy? So Joe Biden comes out and he says, you know, school should probably open. Eh, kind of a shrug of the shoulder. Eh, I don't know. Did you guys hear that I love ice cream? Where's Major? You know, he's like, I don't have a dog in this fight. Maybe they should open. I don't know. And now Anita Dunn, who's part of the Biden administration, she is regurgitating this same kind of meh stance. Let's play cut 10.
Given the science, if the vaccination program in this country proceeds, if people do go get their vaccines, there he does believe that schools should be able to reopen in September and reopen safely following the CDC guidelines. But he said probably, he said, did not say absolutely, because we've all seen this since, unfortunately, January of 2020. It's an unpredictable virus.
Yeah, they go. She goes on to say, I believe, we can't look in a crystal ball. If only, you know, if only we could look in a crystal ball. I kind of feel like I can, though. I see where this country's headed right now. I'm looking at the crystal ball and I'm like, guys, we got to turn this thing around. Now, before we move on to producer's picks later in this segment, I do have a little bit of journalism in the news today.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get? News.
Well, the journalists, they tried their best with Tim Scott. You know, they really dug deep into his family history, or as Glenn Kessler put it, tail. There's more to that tail. And unlike, let's say, Elizabeth Warren or Dick Blumenthal or, you know, anyone like that, any of those Democrats, Tim Scott, who's a Republican, actually didn't lie about his past. He has a very incredible story, and he told the truth. So the fake news in that sense, it kind of dried up. There wasn't a lot to go off there. But there's always fake news to be had when it comes to what, Jared? Well, I'm going to give you a guess. What topic has a never-ending flow of fake news? It's a country. I'll give you a hint.
Gosh, there's so many.
It's a country.
Israel.
No.
Africa.
No.
The United States?
No, but our former president had a lot of ties to this place.
Oh, Canada. No, Russia.
Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. And it seems like the further out we get from the Trump presidency, the more I'm gonna use the word updates, corrections, additional information comes out. I've said this once, but the inconvenient truth is always in the correction. That's where you get the real story. Whatever story they print, just wait a month or 2 months or a year, and then all of a sudden you'll get a small little. I don't know who gets the alerts for these corrections, because I would never notice these, but some people pay attention to this. So the New York Times, the Washington Post, and NBC News, that's like a trifecta of fakeness, all issued retractions Saturday. I wonder why it was on Saturday, Jared. Not a lot of people are paying attention on Saturday.
It's a big news reading day.
Weird. For their coverage of Rudy Giuliani following a raid of his Manhattan apartment by the FBI. The Times appended their correction to a story about the role Giuliani may have played in the 2019 recall of Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. I always mess that up. Yovanovitch. And whether he received a warning from the FBI about Russian disinformation. An earlier version of this article misstated. I read all these corrections in the Jen Psaki voice because I think she'd be very good at this. An earlier version of this article misstated whether Rudolf W. Giuliani received a formal warning from the FBI about Russian disinformation. Mr. Giuliani did not receive such a so-called defensive briefing. The Times wrote Saturday in a note attached to the piece. Hmm!
Handy, sorry.
Whoopsie, sorry. Back to work. They really don't care at this point. And why should they? Probar. Crowbar. Anonymous sources, find the fraud, don't find the fraud. Who gives a bleep? You know, it's only the news. It's only the New York Times. Democracy dies in darkness. It's you know what it is? It's the reason that we can do journalism in the news almost every day. Because these corrections would make any other publication with any amount of decency in any time besides right now blush. Like 30 years ago, I have to imagine that the New York Times would be mortified to issue that kind of correction. But nowadays, it's just like, oh, it's just a daily occurrence.
Yes, we have to issue. Mr. Giuliani did not receive that briefing, but we think he probably did.
Right. We can't say, you know, they should have pulled the Mueller. We can't say that he never has received it. We can't definitively say that he's not guilty.
We said he received the briefing Saturday morning. It was actually Saturday afternoon, we believe.
No shame.
Our bad.
There's no shame in their game. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. Pollen is going to come in, and when it does, you're going to need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. One user wrote, the Thunderstorm does what it claims. It definitely is effective on my husband's allergies, sneezing, runny nose, and coughing. Jared, you had a very similar experience with Thunderstorm.
Yes, I did. It actually really helped me this weekend. I was out in the yard, and it was brutal. I came in literally covered in yellow dust, covered in pollen, which my chest was on fire the entire time until I turned on the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, because it ionized and cleaned and purified the air around me. It got rid of the allergens. It can also get rid of any odors and pollutants and viruses, and you're breathing clean oxygen, and it was huge for me this weekend.
Yeah, for pollen, pet, kitchen, musty basements, tobacco, or any unwanted odors, you need the Thunderstorm. Right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE, and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. With the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, your problem rooms will no longer be a problem. I am going to open up the phone lines here. I'm going to check back in the green room if there's any updates on Joe Biden's pan, and we will figure out more about that on the other side. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. It's Monday, and it's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
A lot of people are asking why I have the Howie Carr Show flag on the microphone right now. And you know what, Jared? I'm going to tell them why, but I'm going to save it. That's radio for you. I'm going to tease it for the other side. I was just talking to Howie, though, about fake news. And I said, Howie, 30 years ago, the New York Times would have been embarrassed by this, right? Running this fake news on Rudy Giuliani. And he said, yeah, people used to get mortified by stuff like this. You know, your reputation was all you had in the news industry. And now people just don't care. They don't care at all. And I think that a misconception is that the internet is to blame. Like, oh, well, now they care about being first. You know, they don't care about being right. They care about being first. I don't buy that, though, because a lot of times with these stories, they want to be wrong. Even if it's for a little bit, even if they guess that the shooter is a white guy and they run with that narrative for a little while, they're not afraid of the risk of being wrong. They just hope their narrative gets out there for a little bit longer. Because the original pieces always get like 600,000 retweets and the corrections get 6. So I don't think this is a matter of trying to beat anyone to the punch. It's just a matter of trying to beat the facts to the punch. Nick, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. You know, central to all of this, a lot of blame, the Giuliani thing, and therefore tracing back to Trump, has to go to Barr. Barr was the attorney general, sat on the laptop for over a year, 2019, early December, right through when Trump got impeached twice, right? He knew damn well the dirty connections, if he brought it to inquire at all, between the Biden crime family in the Ukraine, right? I don't know if he ever had a conversation with Trump about it. I highly doubt it. But he's the one that either orchestrated or simply let it slide when they did the so-called capturing of information in the cloud, conversations between Giuliani and Trump, et cetera, injuring client, attorney-client privileges, et cetera, et cetera. He deserves a lot of blame in all this, and he's going to skate. And what do you think about that?
No, Nick, I agree with you, and I was one of those people who at the beginning, I mean, Bill Barr is just a wealth of knowledge. When he talks to, remember he was talking, I think it was Wolf Blitzer or something, he can really destroy people in a very calm manner because he understands things, and he does understand the law, and he is brilliant in that way. And I was really hoping that Trump had somebody on his side. But I read somewhere once that, and I think he was talking about rhinos, but it said they never fail to disappoint. And I would say that about the deep state, the DOJ and the FBI. And there's good guys in there, but nobody ever really had Trump's back. And I know that's not their job, but it was so obvious that there was so much corruption involved in the Obama administration. I mean, when Trump left office, the Nicole Wallaces of the world freaked out about the peaceful transition of power. Trump should have said, hey, Nicole, you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to spy on Joe Biden. You're gonna follow me around Mar-a-Lago and watch me golf for the next 4 years. Well, I won't be wiretapping Joe Biden. But it just seemed like nobody... Every time you thought you had a glimmer of hope about some of these guys, you just ended up being disappointed. And, that is what it is. If you learned one thing from the Donald Trump presidency, it is that the deep state is deeper than you think. Thank you for the call, Nick. I appreciate it. I think it's a good point. I was one of those people. I had a lot of faith in Bill Barr, and I was disappointed. I was. I'm sure there were things bigger than what he could, fix or control, but there was a lot of guys who I thought, oh, this is the guy. Like, he's going to make things right or make things fair. And a lot of people disappointed me in that sense. Today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA dark roast to their Drain the Swamp medium roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. Now, I know that it's easier to go on Amazon. I know that it's easier to order just like, the chain coffee. Don't do that, though. Support a company that doesn't hate your guts. Buy Covfefe. It's delicious. The packaging is awesome. And be a proud conservative. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. That's spelled C-O-V-F-E-F-E. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What excited you most this weekend? Jana Sanchez lost, Michael Wood only got 3%, or Mitt Romney got booed?
Michael Wood getting 3% and Mitt Romney getting booed, it's kind of all goes for the same thing. Because he's like a mini Mitt Romney, but the audio aspect of Mitt Romney getting booed takes the cake.
Yes, 95% on board with Mitt Romney being booed got them most excited this weekend, myself included.
Yeah, and it just, it kind of goes to show you, Mitt, it's great that you get invited to the cocktail parties, It's great that there's a think piece in the Washington Post about how you're the last Republican with a soul, but it's not going to get you that far. It's really not. There's not this groundswell of Liz Cheney supporters in the Republican Party. I don't know who thinks that that's what's happening, but it's not.
The same group that talked about the pent-up Janet Yellen excitement.
Yeah, it's like the Jennifer Rubins and the Bill Crystals of the world. I don't know. You know who it is? It's like the three Republicans in America who Biden must talk to about his policies. Because he always gets out there and he says... It makes me laugh because it's so ridiculous. He can't get Republican support at all. So he says, the politicians don't support me, but the Republican voters do. As if even though the Josh Hawleys and the Ted Cruzes don't think he's doing a good job, their constituents are behind Joe Biden. It's insane. It's insane to think. But that's where we are. When we get back on the other side, we have an awesome producer's pick, so don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I'm thinking about creating some sort of chart where I can say things that are bad are good again. Remember when Melania Trump planted a tree at the White House in heels? And it was almost as bad as when she went to a disaster zone. I can't remember what storm or, you know, what it was, but she got on, I think, Air Force One in heels. She changed later into boots. But just because she left in heels, the media had a meltdown. She doesn't understand. She's so out of touch. And then she planted a tree in heels, looking gorgeous. And once again, you know, of course Melania Trump would plant a tree in heels. And when Joe Biden did it this past weekend or last week, I saw some headlines. It was wonderful. It was like, you know, it was so Dr. Jew. Oh, Dr. B. Who doesn't plant trees in high heels? Oh, Dr. B, you kill me. Yeah, but that's just, I mean, the double standards, just in the headlines alone, like people compile old headlines versus new headlines. And sometimes they'll do this thing where they go, shot, 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 chaser. So all the shot headlines are the really mean ones against Trump, and then the chaser will be the Biden version of it. You know, kids in cages, kids in cages, kids in cages. Those are all shots. And then chaser is children in overflow migrant facilities are, you know, there's a bit of a struggle or some sort of weak headline. It's just amazing the difference in coverage of this administration. But I'm not going to talk about the border crisis because Kamala has yet to visit. And she's got bigger fish to fry right now. She's head of the Space Council something something.
Look out, minor drug offenders on the moon. You're going to get incarcerated.
Exactly. She's going to bring her crochet to the moon and back. And right now, you know what time it is. It is time for a fan favorite on this show. It's time for Producer's Pick.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day. Producer's Picks.
This is my favorite part of the show because I get to sit back, relax, and hand the microphone over to Jared Diglio. Jared, take it away.
All righty. Well, we're going to start off with, you remember, it might have been a couple weeks ago or last month, after the fact, Nancy Street Fighter Pelosi was talking about she was ready to throw hands with those rioters and insurrectionists when they came in because she's a scrapper.
Yeah, everyone's having this like tough guy thing about January 6th. Remember the news story that told us that Ted Lieu, when the insurrectionists stormed the building, Ted Lieu grabbed a crowbar.
Mr. Crowbar.
Yeah, I can't remember what the publication was. It might have been Politico. I got to double check, though.
I think you're right, but yeah, we don't want to spread fake news.
No, we'll leave that to Politico. So he grabbed a crowbar, and then they had to fix it later because they meant to say probar, like the nutrition bar. And then Nancy Pelosi said, oh, yeah, I would have been able to take them because she's a street fighter. It's like they're all romantic. I hate to say it like this, but they're romanticizing the what ifs, like, oh, they had this near-death experience, and this is what I would have done. And it's all a way to make it seem like it was more of an imminent danger than it really was. And I'm not downplaying what happened. We've said it a million times. It was a terrible thing that happened. But AOC did this, too. She made it seem like it was this huge ordeal for her, and it turns out she wasn't even in the building.
Yeah, well, we've got another hypothetical.
If that was me, I'm just saying, if that was me, they are lucky that was not me, because if the circumstances were such as you have described them, but with me in them, that's a very different and scary outcome for those involved. If.
This is called the if segment. This is the if segment.
Yes. Well, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin has joined the what if party. He revealed in a new interview that he wanted to stay and fight during the Capitol riot on January 6th before he was ushered away by law enforcement. You know, hold me back, hold me back, hold me back, shaman guy.
Put him up, Wayayora. Wait a second, Jared, I wish there was a way, because it's radio. And for the YouTube people, if you don't watch on YouTube, it's a great way to watch. But if you don't watch on YouTube, I need you guys to know that when I heard this Joe Manchin story, 90% of the time when I hear about Joe Manchin, I wish there was a way to convey how far back my eyes roll into my head. Joe Manchin talking about how he would have really, you know, thrown some bows makes me cringe.
Yes, he told USA Today, my intention was to stay and fight. Let him in. Let's go at it.
Oh, God.
But I didn't know what was going on. You had a lot of people chanting. I didn't think anything of that. But within 10 or 15 minutes, a SWAT team comes in with all their gear and says, you guys are out of here. Just go now. Don't even stop. So, yeah, he wanted. He wanted the PC rioters, insurrectionists.
Come at me, bro. You want to fight?
So,
Joe Manchin.
Joe Manchin was ready to bro fight.
Joe is so lame. He's always there when you don't need him. And I guess that goes for the fighting, too. He's always there when you don't need him.
All right. Well, we did mention Dr. Fauci. We mentioned herd immunity and vaccine. Governor Cuomo made a very just unaware killing grandma reference today about people who don't want to get the vaccine. But the New York Times, bastion of democracy, which is not dying in darkness, put this out last week. Can you have alcohol after the COVID vaccine? Moderate drinking is unlikely to impair the immune response to the COVID vaccine, but heavy drinking might. As if there was another reason people would be hesitant to get the vaccine. Oh, I don't know. You know, it's untested. Oh, if I have to get a booster shot, I don't know how effective it's going to be. I'm not in the risk group. You know, I don't. Oh, what? I can't have alcohol? Oh, no, I'm totally out.
It's like the worst rollout optics-wise of this thing. Do they want the mixed messaging? The mixed messaging is really something else.
Yes, there is no evidence, according to the article, that having a drink or two can render any of the current COVID vaccines less effective. Some studies have even found that over the long term, small or moderate amounts of alcohol might actually benefit the immune system. That's what I said all throughout college, by reducing inflammation. But heavy alcohol consumption, on the other hand, particularly over the long term, can suppress the immune system and potentially interfere with your vaccine response.
Jared, you know what I just heard when you said that? There's no reason for us to be saying this, but we're going to put it out there anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to say it just in case it freaks people out. There's not any science behind this, but why not? We're bored today.
Can't let the fear slip away. People might start thinking.
Exactly.
Oh, the New York Jets. The poor Jets. They have been struggling mightily since, it seems, Joe Namath won that Super Bowl in 1969.
I could care less if the Jets are struggling.
Well, from one controversial quarterback to another, Zach Wilson, the second overall pick in last Thursday's NFL draft by the New York Jets, faces criticism for liking tweets supporting Donald Trump and calling for unity.
Is he the blonde one?
Yes, he is the blonde one.
I'll be rooting for him now.
Unity!
If he is a Trump supporter, I'm on board. Go Jets.
Yes, this is from at RZST programming, Resist Programming. Your last defender, vote for Donald Trump like your life depends on it. New York Jets draft pick Zach Wilson liked a pro-Trump tweet saying America is gone forever if Trump loses 2020. Zach Wilson is MAGA.
He should put a MAGA hat in his locker.
He absolutely should.
You know what? It did wonders for the last guy who did it.
They followed, Resist Programming followed. Zach Wilson liked a tweet ranting about being sick of many things, including black versus white and gay versus straight, wishing people would just stop thrusting their beliefs on others. Otherwise, they are no better than the bigots and the racists.
What?
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
He thinks people should mind their own business and try to get along?
He absolutely does. It's just, it's what kind of a... The New York Jets, what kind of a monstrosity did you draft?
Well, you know what this also makes me think of? A couple of weeks ago at the Oscars, Tyler Perry gave that speech where he was like, you shouldn't hate black people or white people. You know, I don't hate police officers. And it was like exalted as this amazing speech. And I'm not discrediting Tyler Perry. I know he's a philanthropist and I think he's probably a really nice person. And that's great. It's a great message. But it's like, it's also just a pretty sane message. Like nowadays, just saying normal things like, oh, why can't we all get along? Racist! How dare you? Crazy land.
All right, so there's a picture that's gone viral and taking over the Twitter sphere by storm. It was somebody who posted a picture of a Starbucks order.
Oh, I saw this.
And it's a ridiculously complicated order. Now, we have Covfefe, so we don't bother with Starbucks anymore because we have fantastic coffee in the office. However, this customer, Edward, ordered a venti caramel crunch frappuccino. Okay, well, you know, it's like four names, but hey, it's Starbucks there. They got weird names for things. These were the add-ons and special instructions that they gave to the barista. 5 banana, I'm assuming shot, like syrup shots.
Oof.
Extra caramel drizzle, extra whip, extra ice. Oof. Extra cinnamon dolce top. 7 pumps of caramel crunch. 1 pump of honey blend.
This should be illegal, right there.
5 pumps of frappuccino something. 7 additional frappuccino chip syrup, heavy cream, double blended.
Hold on. We're worried about menthol cigarettes. This thing is going to kill. This thing is more dangerous than anything I've ever heard. What?
Yeah, I literally just walk up to the barista. Hey, put everything you got in this.
This sounds like a recipe for diabetes.
Yes, it is like drinking diabetes. It's absolutely insane. But that leads me to a question to you, Grace Curley. Do you have any strange order or any extra specific order at anywhere you go?
No, I oftentimes will ask for no onions because, like I've said many times on the show, I do get pretty bad acid reflux. And for me, onions are a trigger for that. But I would say the thing I do the most that kind of makes Will or people I'm with go, oh God, here she goes, is probably my drink order if I'm in the mood for tequila. I will say tequila on the rocks with grapefruit juice, a squirt of lime, also a lime inside of it, also salt on the rim. So it's kind of like my skinny version of a margarita. But just when I explain it and I move my hands around so much, it kind of makes people think, oh God. What is this, Mariah Carey? Just order a drink, damn it.
All right, so that's your skinny margarita diva?
Yeah, do you have one?
No, not really. I don't do mayonnaise, sour cream, ranch dressing, or any of that stuff, so I'm very vocal about that. I'm like, look, just don't put it on there.
I also will say if people, this is going to make me sound like a booze bag because all mine have to do with alcohol, but if I'm getting a Cosmo, I will say, please no triple sec, I'd prefer Cointreau. But I'm a woman with taste. What can I say?
I wanted the dry vermouth, Reggie.
But you know what? When it comes to coffee, I usually just get iced coffee black. So I think that makes up for anything else. Because the baristas like me. There's nothing better. The only person they like more than me is Howie. Because Howie gets hot black coffee. So they don't even have to put the ice in the cup. But besides that, you're not getting more simple than my order. All right, when we get back, very special announcement, 844-500-4242. We'll be back on the other side. It's the start of a new week, and it's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Well, everyone, I'm so excited. You guys have been wondering, why does Grace have the Howie Carr Show mic flags on? It's because the captain has returned. Welcome back, Howie.
Thank you, Grace. I wish I could say it's good to be here, but it's already cost me 87 cents today. I ordered a book, and I had to change my shipping address from Florida to Needham, and guess what?
Yeah.
They added the 6% sales tax.
I don't know how to tell you this, but that's going to be the least of your worries.
I understand.
As far as why this is not going to be as fun for you here, what's it like in Florida? Tell us.
It's wide open. It's running wide open.
It's like the wild, wild west.
Yeah, there's no masks anywhere. Everybody's having a good time. There's no one frowning, and it's just good.
Yeah, well, we know nothing about that here. Everyone's yelling at each other. Tensions are high, and people are mad, including a lot of restaurant owners are furious because, I don't know if you heard this, Howie, but we're actually going to be like last when it comes to the New England states.
Right.
We are, I think, opening August 1st fully, and other places like New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, they're all beating us to the punch.
And don't forget, Boston is waiting an extra 3 weeks. So, and I like, too, that a lot of the openings come a week from today, which is the day after Mother's Day. It's just in time for the restaurants and other public venues not to benefit.
And we laugh, but we know how incredibly frustrating this is. We love all the restaurants here and the restaurant owners, and it's completely unacceptable. Now, switching gears here a little bit, Howie, because I want to hit a few different topics with you. I have to offer my congratulations, because I know that you went to UNC. That's you're an alum.
Yes, yes, the School of Journalism.
The School of Journalism, and they just made a big announcement.
Yes, they hired a Pulitzer Prize-winning, quote-unquote, journalist, the woman who wrote the 1619 Project, which said that the American Revolution, you know, which was basically began here in Massachusetts, Sam Adams, John Hancock, it was designed to make sure that slavery endured in the United States of America.
Howie, I'm sure you want your propagandized version of U.S. history taught. But that's not going to be allowed. Cut three, please, Jared.
This isn't a project about trying to teach children that our country is evil, but it is a project trying to teach children the truth about what our country was based upon. And it's only in really confronting that truth. Slavery was foundational to the United States. We, after the slavery, experienced 100 years of legalized discrimination against Black Americans.
Thanks to the Democrats.
And those are simply the facts of our history. What Mitch McConnell and others like him want is for our children to get a propagandistic, nationalistic understanding of history that is not about facts, but it is about how they would want to pretend that our country is.
Now, Howie, do you think you'll be getting a professorship at UNC anytime soon?
I'll be getting a professorship at UNC about the same time they get a donation from me at the UNC School of Journalism.
Yes. Okay. We know when that's going to be. Now, Howie, what is your take on Brookline? They have decided to overrule the CDC. I thought the CDC was, you know, who we really counted on for truth. They followed the science. But Brookline knows better than the CDC now.
Right. And I mean, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, I mean, she lives in Chestnut Hill. That's practically Brookline. You know, I mean, how can you be a more beautiful person than Rochelle Walensky? Not to mention Dr. Fauci. I thought everybody in Brookline was a Faucist.
I believe you mean Rochelle impending doom, Walensky.
Yeah, we're now like 5 weeks away from the 4 weeks of impending doom. You know, I did not see people dropping this morning on my way to get my cup of coffee. As I always have to forage further and further from my house to get coffee as Charlie Parker's lockdowns continue.
And they're not ending anytime soon. Guys, Howie's back in studio for the first episode of the Howie Carr Show in Mass. Don't go anywhere.